This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
Hello once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo. It's our week 11 edition of the Coordinator's Corner, our weekly BYU football conversation with the Cougs coordinating coaches. Coming up on today's broadcast, looking back at BYU's first setback of the season, 17-13 defeat to the Kansas Jayhawks that drops BYU to 9-1 on the year, 6-1 on the Big 12, still atop the league. Jayhawks keep their postseason hopes alive in the meantime. On today's show, visiting with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill and offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, we begin today's show by saying hello to Coach Hill. Hi, Jay.
Great being with you.
All right. Wow, KU. They came in 3-6 on the season, but as the cliche says, look better than their record. And lots of close losses, and they'd won 2 of 3 coming in. It was a good team.
It's a good team. We knew that. They were one of the preseason favorites early on. They had played really good offensively throughout the year. They'd lost a couple close games, had some turnover issues in some of their losses early, but when they take care of the ball, they're one of the better teams in the league.
And one of the best rushing attacks in college football, really, including a 4,000-yard rusher in Devin Neal. Excellent lead back in a conference full of good running backs.
Yeah, no, they do a good job with their scheme. They do a good job with their execution. They had run the ball for over 200 yards a game going into our game. So they had a lot of weapons, and we knew that going in.
What was one of the maybe on the top of the defensive to-do list going into Saturday's game for you?
Well, finding ways to slow down the run game, which I thought we did. Yeah. I mean, they had under 80 yards rushing, so that was a big deal. Making sure that we didn't give up too many balls down the field was a big deal, and I thought we did, for the most part, a good job at that. And then just not giving them the big chunk yards that they were used to getting.
And their numbers, we'll show them a little later on, but they were all well down from what they've been used to getting.
Well, I thought our guys, for the most part, did a good job. What's crazy is there's 3 or 4 plays in there that I think would have been absolutely the difference in the game that I'm a little disappointed in, that the defense could have really stepped up and made 1 or 2 more plays that really could have put the game in our favor even more.
Let's look at it a little more closely. After a coin toss win for BYU and a deferral, defense was on the field first in this one. And what were you seeing in that first defensive series that ended with a Kansas touchdown?
Well, I think we need to come out and be way more stout against the run. We were trying to be really aggressive early on with some of our run blitzes. We weren't good enough in this first drive. We need to be way more sound, way more stout, way more physical. After this drive, I thought we settled down and played really good football.
In opening drives like this, offensive coordinators and offenses have scripts they often go with. What's the defensive equal to that when you're watching a first drive against you?
Well, we pretty much knew what they were wanting to do, what they were going to do. I think we sat up in the box and called the majority of those plays that were coming at us. Getting players settled down in big games. And I think that's what was happening, right, is the hype was growing. It was getting bigger. And I don't think we came out of the locker room with the right mindset right off the bat. And sometimes it takes giving up a score for you to settle down and start playing great. And, you know, for the most part, I thought we did that after the first drive.
In that first drive, 7 rushes, 3 passes. Of KU's 73 rushing yards on the night, more than half came on that opening drive. You basically shut down the KU ground game after the opening possession.
Well, like I say, once we settled down, I thought we played very good and did what we needed to do to get them into the third and longs throughout the game for the rest of the game. That first drive was disappointing.
Back to what you said a moment ago, did you get a sense either during the week or even in the pregame that something was a little maybe that it might take something to jolt them awake?
Well, so I thought I've heard people blame it on so many things. That was the letdown after the big rivalry game or whatever it was. Bottom line, we got to be better as coaches at getting the guys geeked up, ready to go, prepared, whatever you call it. We got to come out of the tunnel with more juice than we did on Saturday. I could see it from the box as we ran out of the tunnel. We just need to be a little bit more ready to go. And then, you know, sometimes that's nerves, sometimes that's a little bit of an anxiety, sometimes that's pressure that we as coaches and players put on each other, sometimes that's pressure coming from fans and outside noise, but bottom line, that's what that is. It's outside noise. We got to be able to overcome it and play better.
Back into it, 2nd and 3rd Kansas drives were both 3 and outs for you guys. On the first of the 2 3 and outs, a really nice pass breakup from Mori Bamba on a 3rd and 7 down the sideline.
Well, I thought that was a huge one. I really thought from the box they were going to go to the field there, but Mori did a nice job of coming back to the wide receiver. We knew they liked number 0 down the sideline. And that's exactly what they did. They tried him down the sideline. I thought Mori did a great job of getting his hand in and knocking this ball out.
That was the play right there, right?
Yep, right there. The guy did a good job of giving Mori a little bit of a tug off the bat just to get Mori in trail. But after that, Mori played the hands really good.
Okay, on the second consecutive 3-and-out, it was a different kind of pass breakup. It was a bat down of a pass by Big John Nelson inside.
Well, and we knew on that down and distance, they usually threw the ball short a lot of times across the middle of the offensive line. And so we called something that where we get our hands up. John did a great job of just with the play call, getting his hands up and getting this batted ball. And I think that those are critical plays to get the players bought into what we're calling and why we're calling things. Because on the sideline, you can go back to him and say, hey, see, there was a reason why we told you hands here.
Perfect. Those outstanding defensive series allowed the BYU offense, meantime, to get into a bit of a flow. After that second 3-and-out, BYU scores, taking a 10-7 lead. It was a half with only 4 possessions. First of all, pace-wise, it was a unique game that way, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and I think that they were conscientious of limiting possessions, and we were good offensively at moving the chains and keeping drives going. I thought the offense did a great job with that. I think 4 is a little low on the average, but bottom line, besides the first drive, I thought we did as a team what we needed to do.
Yeah, so first drive, touchdown. Second and third drives, 3-and-out. Their fourth first half drive, the last one of the half, the big play was a conversion on 4th and 6 on this one, right, to put them in a scoring position.
Yeah, and this was probably the most disappointing one to me because I like the play call. I like everything we were doing. We got a little bit out of whack on how we were lined up, but in 4th down, now you got to come up with your best stuff, and we did not do that here. We were just a little messed up with alignments, and as a consequence, turned loose the guy that they most want to get
open. They like
open.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, on 3rd and 4th down, yeah. That's their guy, and if there's one guy not to turn loose, it's him. I mean, that's disappointing. That stuff happens, unfortunately, at times. That was probably my biggest frustration of the game after that first drive.
But you see, after they go to Grimm there, they're up the 6-yard line. And after a delay of game, they eventually get backed up to a 3rd and goal from the 7. Pass breakup here, they have to settle for a field goal. They did not get into the end zone on that drive.
Well, that's another one where I think The Rock had something big to do with it, and the crowd getting loud, and they got to take the delay game. I mean, those 5-yard penalties end up being huge in these situations. This is a heck of a play by Jack Kelly, like a really great play. And then, stuffing this one, because he's had a bunch of QB draws like that in the year where he actually scored on. Mm-hmm. So we knew that play was coming, and then obviously we get out of this critical 3rd down. Forcing them to these field goals is critical.
So it's tied at 10, and the offense had a tough giveaway right before the break, of course, in the end zone. You'd have loved to have a lead going into halftime, but how did you feel in a 10-10 ball game at the break?
Well, we were all right. I mean, obviously you want the lead going in. You want the momentum in that middle 8 that we've been so good at throughout the course of this year. But I mean, that you go on a halftime, you regroup. That's sports. That stuff happens. And then the offense comes out for a big, long drive, and we score points at the start of the second half. That's we're in a good spot. Not necessarily where we want to be, but we're in a good spot. We're fine. Let's just go finish the game.
All right. After our break, we'll wrap up our look back at BYU and KU with Coach Jay Hill as we head to break. This reminder, join Dave McCann and former Cougs, Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review. They'll break down the film of BYU's game against KU and look ahead to Saturday's game at Arizona State. That's tomorrow at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app and ESPN+. When we return, more with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach Jay Hill. As the coordinator's corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
We're back on the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach Jay Hill after BYU's 17-13 home drop to Kansas on Saturday night. BYU still in control of its postseason path. Win the next two games and play in Arlington, win the next three and earn a spot in the 12-team playoff. Cougs had a chance to control the middle eight we talked about against Kansas, but they get the 3 points out of the possession. Between the end of the first half and start of the second half, it's 3 points, right? The longest drive of the Kalani Sitake era got BYU in position for those points. So KU had just one possession in the third quarter. Again, an interesting game in terms of number of possessions. Taking away the kneel downs, only 8 possessions on the night. That is a low number. You said 4 is kind of a low average for the half.
Yeah, that would be low. And we got to give a ton of credit to Coach Roderick and the offensive staff. They've done such a good job possessing the ball and not turning it over and going on those long drives. It's much easier to play great defense when they're doing that. And so they deserve a ton of credit. We did get out of some really critical drives in the second half to give us a shot, but in the end, one play short.
KU's one third quarter possession bled into the fourth, and the key sequence, of course, comes in the quick kick on the 4th and 14 from the BYU 36. It came after a Kansas timeout. First up, what was the discussion during the timeout about what you might expect from Kansas in that 4th and 14?
Well, they left their offense out on the field, right? And so we have to have a call to defend what they were going to do on 4th down with their offense. As soon as he stepped back, we knew they were going to kick it, but the corners didn't know that. They still have to treat him as though he's a viable passer at that point. And so Evan, in his attempt to cover the wide receiver, had no idea the ball had been punted. And it's great luck for them that the ball just happened to hit us, and bad luck for us that it hits us and then that we don't get the ball once it's on the ground.
Yeah, as for the quick kick itself, just terrible luck. And yet the ball is there, and somehow it squirts free, and then it's KU possession.
Well, Jacob Robinson right here, he sees the ball hit Evan, and so he's correct to try to get on it, and it spits out. It's unfortunate. That's one thing we love about sports, right, is you never know quite how the ball's going to bounce, and in this particular case, it doesn't bounce in our favor.
So after the muff recovery, the only Kansas points of the second half come on that 3-yard field, and Devin Neal scores, but plenty of time left, and it was up to your defense to give the O chances to answer.
Yeah, I mean, that play in all reality had very little to do with the outcome of the game, in my opinion, just because we got a chance to respond. And responding in those situations is such a critical part of being a great team, which we've been all year. And I thought the defense did good after that drive to get out of the next drives to get us the ball back to give us a shot.
Yeah, KU got only 2 more real possessions in the game. And Mark Collins makes a huge play to end the first one. He got he made it an interception in every game now for BYU this year.
Yeah, well, that's a huge stat. I think right now we lead the nation in interceptions.
Type of the lead, yep.
We're one of the very tops in the nation in pass efficiency defense, which is huge. And there's a lot of great we're doing. This is obviously a huge play. Great job by Mark coming off his route.
Great toe tap.
Toe tap. That's 2 now that he's had this year. That's a huge play in this game, an opportunity for a short field with where we're down 4. Yeah, big play.
Was his first toe tap with his back to the sideline at SMU? Was that the one?
Yeah,
tremendous. Yeah, really outstanding play. Kansas's last true offensive possession started with 7:10 to play, and it got to a 3rd and 2, kind of a must-stop down for you guys. And Jalen Daniels was kept short of the line to gain great effort from the BYU defense.
It was. That was a huge stop. And we really knew at this situation they're not going to go for it backed up on 4th down in this opportunity. If we run the blitz right, we're going to knock him for a 2-yard loss. But great job getting the stop, getting the ball back for the offense, giving us one more shot at the win.
One more shot BYU had. The final offensive drive got BYU into position, but a tough way to end it and see the unbeaten streak come to an end, and KU wins it 17-13. But your defense, man, it was outstanding. Easily KU's worst offensive game of the season, and some of the numbers are lows dating back a couple of years. So from that standpoint, it's a team game, but defensively, you accomplished a lot of what you wanted to that night.
Well, playing great defense is a team deal. It's the offense not turning it over. It's not having short fields. And so, again, I give the offense a lot of credit for so many of the things that they did in this game. Defensively speaking, that's a very hard scheme to stop. I thought our guys did a great job in their preparation. I don't think anything really caught us off guard. There were not a lot of big chunk yardage plays in that game where we gave up just quick momentum. So there's so many positives about what we did defensively, but the reality is we might have to win 3-0 one game, and we got to find a way as a defense to get out of what cost us the game and the points that, you know, gave them more than we got. So the defense has a lot to do with playing better in that game too.
The season lows for Kansas in this one, yardage, rushing yards, points, first downs, plays, and third down conversion. They're one of the top third down teams in the country coming in.
Yeah, and I'd given our guys a goal to be under 35% on third downs in this game. We held them to 33, so that was a huge stat in this game. I gave them a goal to hold them to their lowest rushing total of the season, and we did that by more than half.
Yes.
Their lowest total before that, I think, was 151 yards. So there's so many wonderful things we did in this game. I'm proud of the guys for that. Now it's going to be on us to get these guys to rebound and play great this week.
There was a player that we're going to highlight for some of his defensive efforts on the day, Raider DeMooney. You kind of liked the way he played.
He did. He came in and had a couple huge tackles, one real critical TFL that he had. I like his progression. I like his athleticism. I think he's going to be a great player down the road for BYU. You're going to see a lot of him over the next couple of years.
He's been playing anyway, but Crew Wakely had to miss some snaps on Saturday. Did we see more of Raider because of that? Were they playing some of the same roles there?
Yeah, he's been playing a lot, but that allowed him to play more because of the injury to Crew. He did a good job. You know, when people get injured, next guy up, and I think he went in there with a great mentality.
You feel good about Crew being available for you?
I think so. Yeah, we'll see how the week goes, but I think so, yes.
Okay. You're still tied for first atop the Big 12 Conference. You win the next two games, you know you're going to be playing for the Big 12 title.
Well, I think it's a blessing in disguise in a way. Maybe God's looking out for us that this is a wake-up call. We still control our own destiny. We needed to win out no matter what after that last game, so if we use this properly as coaches and players, it can be a huge blessing in disguise.
Do you have any historical reference for something like this happening in a season where you have seen it turn out to be a benefit to your program?
Well, so all of my three best seasons at Weber State as a head coach, we had a loss that I didn't love during the season, but it was kind of what sparked us. It woke us up and helped us on some of our late playoff runs that we had at Weber State. Used correctly, I think that this can work in our favor.
After the game, like right after, there may be too much disappointment to maybe have that reset, or did you sense a little reset even after the game Saturday from either coaches or players, like, okay, guys?
Well, I was extremely disappointed in the game, and I know Coach Satake was well. The biggest thing is Kansas can't beat us twice. And so if you go in the locker room and it's all fun and joy after a loss like that, you don't have the right mindset, culture, or players in the locker room. And so there's got to be a little bit of heartbreak in those moments. But now it's up to us to rebound and to focus and put our attention into beating Arizona State. If we do that, we'll be in a good spot.
You weren't in a must-win situation Saturday, mathematically, but you kind of are now. Can that help a team?
I think so. The competitors step up now, and I'll challenge them, and I'll challenge myself and the other coaches to be in that mindset that the competitors will step up, and they'll play their best games down the stretch because they know what's riding on it.
All right. Thanks, Coach. We'll come back with another segment with you next Saturday. Tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio. It's at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Mountain as the Cougs visit the Arizona State Sun Devils in BYU's away finale. As we go to break, a reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads, JCW's quality, and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and now in Harriman. Coming up next, a look ahead to BYU and ASU. You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back on the Coordinator's Corner, closing segment this week with BYU defensive coordinator, safeties coach, and associate head coach Jay Hill, taking a look ahead to this weekend's upcoming game at Arizona State now. BYU 9-1 on the year, 6-1 in the Big 12, ASU 8-2 on the season, 5-2 in league, likely needing a win to stay in the hunt for a spot in Arlington. Of course, BYU in a lot of the same mode. Don't even want to talk about tiebreakers that could come into play. Coach Hill, right now it's about winning out.
It is about winning out, and I think the players will respond great. I know the coaches have a great mindset of where we need to get. We've been in these situations before. Now we just got to go play great.
ASU coming off a nice win at Kansas State on the weekend. From what you've seen from them and the work you've done already, a few thoughts on the Sun Devils.
Well, they got a very good run game right now. Everyone talks about Scataboo. He does a great job running the ball. The quarterback is very athletic, so he can also hurt you with his feet. The throw game is good. They have a very, very good wide receiver that's one of the tops in the Big 12 right now. Had a huge game last week. So
Jordan Tyson, yeah.
Yeah, we got our work cut out for us, but I like the matchup and I like the challenge right now of coming off the what just happened to us and see how we come back and play.
Sam Leavitt as a young quarterback, how do you think he plays as a freshman, and does he remind you of any other quarterbacks you've had to deal with this year?
Well, a lot of them. You know, we play athletic quarterbacks in the Big 12 almost every week that do a good job of throwing the ball, running the ball. In a way, he's a lot like Retzloff, because he can hurt you with both. But I like him having to see all the stuff that we'll bring at him and see if he can handle it.
You said earlier in the show, this is why we love sports, right? And I think in this game, you've got the teams picked 13th and 16th. In the preseason poll, battling for a spot in the Big 12 title game here with 2 weeks to go. You just don't know, season to next, who's going to be the team that jumps up and does what both these teams are doing this year.
Well, nobody would like sports, right? If the team that was predicted to win won every single time, that would be boring. This one is a fun game for us. It's a big game for both teams. It represents both teams, like you said, come from the bottom to the top. And I would suspect moving forward in the conference each year that you'll see both teams up there battling each year.
What does it say about the caliber of the Big 12 that there were these teams lurking that people thought wouldn't have much of a say in it, and here they are at the end of the season?
Well, there's a lot of parity right now in college football. I think both staffs have done a great job getting players ready to go, and I think the players have responded on both sides, Arizona State and us, very well this year. And there's still a ton to play for, so I love it going forward.
Being an independent is tough in a lot of ways. You're not in a conference. You're not scoreboard watching. You're not battling for the same things. It is great to be in the mix in a league this good for the things you're playing for right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If you'd have said 3 months ago to all the fans and all the players and coaches that we're going to be 9-1, we're going to be in the top 15 in the country playing for a conference championship at this week, we would have all taken it. And we're excited about where we're at. We're excited about the challenge moving forward.
All right, the ASU-BYU preview, by the way, brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Cougs and Sun Devils on a Saturday afternoon. Weather should be great in Tempe for the Saturday matinee.
Well, I can't wait, and hopefully we turn that stadium blue like we've done so many times throughout this year. We need our fans there, and we will show up.
You're trying to get into the playoff, but every game kind of feels like a playoff game right now.
Well, that's the best part about the playoff system now. And I saw in FCS football that late in the year, every game means so much. And it makes it that much better because every game is like a championship game. And I absolutely love it.
Me too. Good luck in your prep this week. We'll see you next week for our season finale.
Can't wait.
All right, thanks, Coach. Tomorrow night, join us for BYU football with Kalani Sitake. As the coach will be joined by Hoops head man Kevin Young. We'll be talking football and basketball tomorrow night. Watch tomorrow night and Tuesday nights at 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. Coming up next, BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick joins us. As the coordinator's corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's, The Burger Boys, and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
You're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's, The Burger Boys. Our second half hour of the show begins now with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick, who joins me in Studio B, recapping Saturday night's 17-13 home setback versus Kansas. With the loss, BYU now 9-1 on the season, 6-1 in league, but still tied for the Big 12 lead. BYU and Colorado tied atop the conference. This week, BYU at ASU, Colorado is at Kansas. Coach Roderick, good to see you once again.
Good to see you.
All right, what did your scouting report having you think you could do well against KU coming in?
We thought we could control the line of scrimmage, which I felt like we did. We were, I thought, a bigger, more physical team, and thought we did a good job of controlling the game, controlling the line of scrimmage. We just, the story of the game was we had four chances in the red zone and didn't get any touchdowns. And that's been one of our strengths this year is yep. getting touchdowns when we get down there in this game. We did not do that, and that is the loss is as simple as that. It's just you can't win. you can't win when you get zero touchdowns and four tries in the red zone.
It was 6 points in four red zones, right?
And really, you know, you look at, we did a lot of good things. We had 23 first downs. They had 13. You know, I mean, we had some long sustained drives where we were keep letting our defense rest against, you know, a really good offense this year that's been scoring points. And but you have to finish drives, and we did not do that, and that is why we lost.
A couple of players referenced afterward the week of practice and maybe not feeling, to them, that it was BYU's best week of work on the offensive side of the ball. Were you seeing any of the same thing?
I did. You know, I don't want to use that as an excuse, but I think the emotional and physical toll of the week before took a lot out of us. And again, that's no excuse for anything, but it was not our best week of practice, I would say. And I think it's human nature. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of it takes a lot to emotionally and physically bounce back from a game like that Utah game. And it's a great lesson for us. We're going to have to handle it better in the future.
BYU has been winning close games and managing tight situations really successfully this year. How much of the last, let's say, month or so was a bit of playing with fire?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, because you don't plan to be in those situations. You just play the game, and then when you're in them, you do your best to win. And we've, for example, the two-minute, we've been probably the best. I would dare say there's not a better two-minute offense in the country than we've been this year. And this game, two opportunities, one before the half and one at the end of the game, where we go right down the field in two-minute offense, and we don't finish. And that was disappointing. But I think I still have a lot of faith in our ability to finish games. We're 9-1, obviously, so we've done a good job finishing games throughout the season, and we just didn't get it done this week.
Since 2016, the fewest possessions BYU's had in a game is 8, and that was the number you had Saturday against Kansas, low possession number.
Yeah, and I did have a feeling before the game that it was going to be a lower possession game. Kansas plays a very slow pace. We've been a pretty slow-paced team this year, and most of the time it's worked for us. You know, we've had a lot of quality, sustained drives where we eat up a lot of clock, score a touchdown, our defense gets to rest, the other team's offense gets frustrated, especially because most offenses want to go fast in this era. But we knew that going against Coach Grimes, he was going to be a slow-paced guy, and it was just going to be one of those games where the possessions would be limited. And in a game like that, you have to capitalize with touchdowns.
All right, you're a team that usually scores first. Let's get into the game. You were trailing 7-0 in this one to start. Your first scoring drive, though, gets L.J. Martin and the run game going.
Yeah, and that was the plan, was to get the run game going, and then we felt like if we did that, we could activate our play-action pass game. And that was another thing, is we usually hit some deep balls, and in this game, we missed them. And this season, we've been, you know, one of the most explosive teams in college football at hitting those long balls. And this night we missed them. But the run game was a huge positive. I thought we ran the ball effectively, and we just have to be able to finish the drives better.
It was your first scoring drive was at the end of that a field goal to make it 7-3. It was the rare game with no red zone touchdowns on the night. It had been a strength, that's the thing. And I know right now your red zone touchdown percentage isn't where you want it at this moment.
Yeah, and mostly due to this game. I mean, prior to that, we were about 67-70%-ish, right around there. 2 out of 3 is a good number. But we took a step backwards in this game for sure.
Now, the field goal gets you points. The more important thing is you're going to get points on limited possession games, which you did get. You did take a lead, though, in the second quarter. A really nice balance drive. 5 passes, 3 rushes. A big third down conversion on the jet, I think, to Parker. They reviewed it, right? But he did make the line to gain, and then the very next play, it's Hinkley on the wheel.
Yeah, and that's the same play we scored against Baylor. Threw it to Miles Davis against Baylor. Just dressed the play up a little differently, but it's been a good play. This was a huge block there by Darius on this, basically what's a triple option play for us, and Jake got the ball out quick, and Darius made a huge block. And then it was a good balanced drive. You know, we threw it, run it, mixed up some RPOs and some run game, and then a nice touchdown completion to Hinkley right here.
On the wheel.
Yep, and great drive. Just disappointing that we couldn't get a couple more.
KU would tie the game at 10. You get the ball with 1:46 left in the second quarter. Your team is masterful. Like you hit it earlier. Yeah. The 2-minute has been great all season long. And you go 70 yards in just over a minute to get into scoring position.
Yeah, we almost got down there too fast. It seemed like we went right through them and then got to the 5-yard line. Called a play that is a play we practice a lot and just we didn't execute the play.
This is the start of the two-minute, I think, right?
We started off with a speed option and got us going, and then a couple of good completions to Chase, and then we threw this out route here. I think it was to Keelan. Yeah, that's Keelan. And we're in great position, and I thought just managed the drill well, and just did not finish like we had hoped. But no one's deterred by this though. We still have a lot of confidence in ourselves. We're scoring 31 points a game this season, and we feel like we can bounce back and do that again this week.
The last play we see there is Tase to get you to the 5, right?
Yeah, we threw it was a little tight end delay to Tase, which is an old school BYU play from the 90s, 80s and 90s, and we pulled it, dusted that off. And then the next play, we called a red zone, low red zone pass that is a play we own and we've been very successful at over the years, and Jake just wasn't his best throw of the night. He knows it. He made a bad throw. And it was really as simple as that on that one.
It's 40 seconds to go. You have 2 timeouts. You have some options with your calls.
Yeah.
But you like Tase on the corner. And it's not the exact identical play. Maybe it is. But Keanu against SMU for the 2-point. It's a taller player against a shorter player. And Jake said in the postgame to us, just a simple underthrow on that.
Yeah, he just left the ball too far inside. Tava's not he's not the fastest guy, but you don't need to be here. You have a size advantage. We just want to throw the ball to the back pylon and let him go up for it. It's either incomplete or a touchdown. And then we have 2 timeouts left with 3 downs left to get the ball in the end zone. And unfortunately, Jake just underthrew it, and he's been doing a great job for us all year, but that was a mistake, bad play.
One of the reasons you defer after winning a coin toss is to control the end of one half, the start of the next, the middle 8. Just not getting points there. I mean, clearly you're counting on at least 3.
Yeah. I mean, it's disappointing for sure.
Yeah. All right. You can get ready for BYU and ASU. We will as well this Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded pregame coverage starting 2 hours prior to kickoff at 1:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time on BYU TV. That's this weekend. When we come back, more with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. As the coordinator's corner continues, we're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more after this. Welcome back to the Coordinator's Corner, wrapping up our look back at Kansas's 17-13 win at Lavelle Edwards Stadium on Saturday night. BYU remains tied for the Big 12 lead with Colorado at 6-1. Cougs are 9-1 overall, heading into a meeting with Arizona State this Saturday in Tempe. Okay, we went into our break after segment 1 with Coach Roderick, with BYU and Kansas tied 10-10 at halftime. BYU gets the ball to begin the second half. It was your only drive of the third quarter, as it turned out. Longest drive duration of the Kalani Sitake era, 10:26. It includes 1 third down conversion, 1 fourth down conversion. It gets you back into the Kansas red zone. It was a heck of a drive.
Yeah. Story of the night, though. It was a great drive. I think we did a lot of good things on that drive. We controlled the line of scrimmage. We were very physical. Had some good conversions in that drive. But disappointed not to finish with a touchdown.
You've often talked about different situations where if you're in the lead, let's say, you're counting possessions for the other team.
Yeah.
In this kind of game, were you, as you're in the middle of the drive, going, how many more drives is each team going to get here?
Yes, that started early in the fourth quarter. We start kind of calculate how many possessions we have left. This drive, we're not thinking about that at all. We're just trying to do our thing and go get a touchdown, and I thought we made a lot of good plays. I was proud of the way we executed until, that low red zone area was just not good for us this week.
You got a field goal, and you take a lead. You're up 13-10. The defense forces Kansas into a 4th-and-14 at the BYU 36 on the ensuing possession. You're probably getting into your call sheet for the next offensive possession.
Correct.
It's going to be, you're probably going to get backed up, but you're going to be playing on offense. You never got that possession because of the muff on the weird deflection on the quick kick.
Yeah, that was a freak play. I mean, you could punt that thing 10,000 times and not hit our player in the helmet. and then I would also say, Jacob Robinson is such a great football player. He's going to fall on that ball 99 times out of 100. He's going to come up with that ball, and it just wasn't, it was one of those games where we didn't finish the game. We didn't execute well enough, and That was a freak thing right there. That was probably the freakiest play of the game for sure.
Easily. Your next two drives ended in punts, but outstanding work by the BYU defense gets you the ball back with 4:47 to play and needing a touchdown to take a lead. With that amount of time left, was your objective simply to score or to score with the right amount of time left at that point?
Well, the first objective is to score, yes, but it'd be nice to score and not leave the other team with much time, which I thought we did a good job of that. We put ourselves in position by taking a fairly methodical drive down the field. And again, the story of the game, we got ourselves in good position and just were not able to finish it out the way we should, like we've been doing all year.
This final drive we're seeing, it covered 71 yards in just over 4 minutes, four double-digit yard gains. Yep. In the first five plays, and we're seeing them here. It got you down to the KU 15 pretty quickly. Those chunk plays got you where you wanted to be in a hurry.
Yeah, and we had an explosive play one in every 4.5 plays in this game. So, again, we did a lot of good things, but you have to finish the drive with a touchdown. And that will be, we're not going to panic about it because it's something we've been very good at all season, but we will definitely have everybody's attention this week about that.
So from the 15-yard line, about 2 minutes left, right? Your first down, what were you trying to get down on this next sequence of plays? We'll see.
Well, we want to get the ball in the end zone, and we ran the ball really well these last few plays. So, we ran it again right here. We had an error, blocking scheme error, and then this play, they went basically cover zero, and the safety came down fast. And then our option play right here, we should have gone the other direction with it, and it doesn't matter though. We got ourselves. We still were in good position to finish the game, and had a couple of unfortunate just lack of execution on the last couple of plays.
On the 4th and 6th, there was that weird false start where the snap came late, and it looked like the rhythm and the clap and everything else. What went wrong on that one?
Yeah, just a false start, just a little late with the snap. Connor's a great player. He's been a great player for us.
By the way, how good to have him back. By the way,
it's awesome to have him back. So then this, I don't want to make it seem like this one play lost us the game, because that is not the case at all. This is a team game. It's all 11 guys have to execute. We did have a good play call there. And then, this last play, just Chase was a couple yards short of the marker. By design, we're supposed to have Chase right there at the marker, and then we have Darius bending in behind him in the end zone, and just came up a little short.
An extra 5 yards means something, though. They're not played clearly.
It does.
Yeah. You alluded to the two-minute prowess earlier, and on that final drive again, you're quickly down the field. What's the right balance for you, do you think, moving forward between, man, we're good when we're fast, but we're also really good when we're methodical, and sometimes situation says you do one or the other?
Yeah, I think when you have a game like this, you start to question everything really easily, and I think the more measured approach is to say we're scoring 31 points a game this season, we're 9-1, we don't need drastic change, we just need to finish drives better this week, and, I've been saying for weeks we need to play a little better on third down. That's definitely a goal. But we've been good at finishing drives all year. We don't need major change. We just need to have good practices this week and get ready to go beat the Sun Devils.
But you have to love the way your team plays when there's a sense of urgency and they got to go, because you're really playing well.
There is. And I think what you just mentioned is we are a team that can win any style of ball game. If we get into a shootout, we can go fast and we can throw it. And we can score points in a fast manner. If we're in a slugfest where it's a game where we gotta grind it out, we can win those type of games too.
With 8 possessions.
Yeah, and we've proven that we can win those type of games as well this year. And I think to play at a championship level and win a conference championship, you have to be able to do both. You can't be a one-trick pony offensively. And so we will stick with what we're doing, and we're gonna go play better this week.
Jake Retzlaff told us in the post game, yeah, he missed some throws he normally makes, but he made some great throws too on the night.
He did. He played. He made some good plays, but he knows it wasn't his best game. And I think that's what I love about Jake, is how accountable he is to his teammates. One of the big differences in the game, as I mentioned earlier, is we didn't land our long balls. We've been hitting deep balls at a really high percentage this season, and those explosive plays are usually touchdown catches or they set up touchdown catches. And this game, we didn't hit them. And I'm confident that Jake will land those the next chance he gets.
How fine is the line right now between your 30s and 40s and the low 20s and teens from the last couple of weeks here?
It's finishing in the red zone. We had 4 chances. If you get 3 out of 4 touchdowns there, that's 21 more points. You're feeling really good. And winning by two scores. And if we even just get two touchdowns out of four, and maybe one, you know, I mean, it's just a totally different ball game. And so that's been the difference.
Let's go back to the O-line for a minute. Let's reiterate the fact that Connor Pay did get back after going out in the Baylor game. How is it to have him back, both locker room and field, and how do you feel he acclimated himself with his first action
it's
in a
great,
while?
Great to have him back. Connor's a very good player, veteran player. He gets everybody going in the right direction. I thought he did a lot of good things in the game, just getting our blocking schemes organized with the calls he makes. And I'm super glad to have him back.
Didn't have Braden Keim. You lose your right tackle in the Utah game. Isaiah Jada came in that game and started in this game, and you ID'd Isaiah as maybe your offensive player of the week for this past week.
Yeah, he played very well. 2 weeks in a row, he's played really well. He finished the Utah game, played awesome in that last game-winning drive, and then this game he graded out very high and was just a real positive from this game. Was just his play.
A 6'6", 320-pound senior, transferred from Colorado, right?
Yeah, he's actually redshirt.
Because he'll have one more year, right?
Correct. We redshirted him this year. You can play up to four games, so we held
plus
him
plus postseason.
Yeah,
right?
We held him out all year. We hoping he was going to play in a case of emergency. He was ready to play, but
and he was.
He was ready every game, and then we didn't have to put him in until the Utah game. So his redshirt stays intact, and I expect him to be one of our starting tackles next season.
That's pretty cool the way that turned out. If you needed him one game earlier, then the redshirt plan goes away.
Wait till you get to know him. He is an unbelievable kid, just a really smart football player, great teammate. So happy he joined our team.
And was I right in speaking about that? It's four games plus any postseason?
Correct, yeah. Four games plus postseason doesn't count. So we have a couple of young players, too, who are redshirting that we could potentially use in postseason, depending on how things go.
All right, excellent. Coming up after our break, well, first of all, we remind you going into break that you can watch BYU Sports Nation for your Cougar sports day-to-day play-by-play with Jerem and Spencer weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and radio. When we come back, some closing thoughts from BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. As the coordinator's corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Back with more after this. You're in the coordinator's corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, heading down the stretch in the 2024 college football season. Next Monday's show will be our season finale. All three coordinators will be on with us. All right, BYU tied for the Big 12 lead, 9-1 overall, 6-1 in conference. This week at ASU, the Sun Devils 8-2 and 5-2. First meeting since a BYU home win in 2021. That was the Tyler Allgeier punch-out game, as I recall, right?
The one.
That was the one. All right, wrapping up today's show with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. By the way, speaking of that game, Jaden Daniels, NFL starting quarterback, Ricky Pearsall, NFL starting wide receiver, Tyler Allgeier, NFL running back. There was a lot of good players in that game. Rashad White, Buccaneers starting running back.
I think the eight of the starters on that defense are in the NFL right now, on Arizona State's defense from that game. We actually counted it up recently because Tyson McDaniel coached there, and so he knew a lot of those guys. And
on both sides of the ball, there were a ton of NFL guys in that
both
game.
Both of the corners, one of the safeties, all the D linemen, all in the NFL. That was an outstanding defense. And then you had Jaren Hall against Jaden McDaniel.
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels. Yeah. That was a heck of a game.
That game was loaded, absolutely. And it was one of those nights, too, where Lavelle Edwards Stadium was just rocking, and it affected their play at the rock end.
We had a chance to kick a field goal or go for the win at the end, and we went for the win and threw a touchdown pass to put him, to bury him. It was pretty fun.
It was a blast. All right, the loss to Kansas. Obviously, you hope it turns into, the phrase blessing in disguise, some kind of positive here this week and moving forward. How does it become that for you?
Well, it's just a chance to look at, things you can do better. I think it's a good chance for everybody in the whole program to be accountable for ways they can improve. And our whole motto this whole season on offense is just get a little better each week. And I feel like we did that all season long. And then this week we took a little step backwards. And so it's just this is not a time for panic at all. We've done a lot of good things as a football team to get to 9-1. There's a lot of teams that wish they were 9-1 and in first place and in control of their own destiny right now. So no one's going to panic. We're just going to keep working. And it's, that's games like this are why you play. I mean, this is what it's all about, and we can't wait.
You mentioned earlier having to shake off the Utah effect, positive after effects, and maybe being a little sluggish during the week with some guys. How can this be a better week of practice for you? How do you go about getting that from the guys?
Well, losing hurts. I mean, it doesn't feel good at all. And so I think that if that doesn't up your sense of urgency a little bit, then you shouldn't be involved in this sport. And so but I know our players, they will show up ready to go, and we'll be ready to play on Saturday.
I mentioned it with Coach Hill, but nobody saw BYU and ASU being a fight for the conference championship when this season, you know, back in August.
Yeah, and that's what you love about college football is, you know, in the Big 12 in specific. I mean, every single week, every team in the conference is good enough to beat each other on any given day. And, you know, we got tripped up on Saturday. The games like that have happened all season long. And but we're still in a great position, and this is exciting. You know, two teams that people thought weren't going to be any good are playing for a chance to go to the championship.
The national observers say, well, BYU lost a game. There goes the Big 12 at large. But the Big 12, you've been in it long enough already, just in 2 years, to know it's a good football league. Maybe it doesn't get the respect it deserves nationally, because week to week, top to bottom, it's a strong conference, I think.
For sure. It's a physical conference, I think. You know, I spent a lot of years in the Pac-12, and I think the physicality of this league, it's not even close to what my experience was in the Pac-12. I think these teams are, and then just, you know, we're so, I guess what you, there's no just dominant team. Every single week, anybody can beat each other, and that makes it fun.
How about ASU's win at Kansas State this past week? What did that tell you?
Very impressive. I have not played at Kansas State, but I know that's one of the tougher venues in our conference. And to go on the road there and do what they did, very impressive.
Middle of the pack ASU defense, very good offense, maybe a keep pace kind of game, potential for a shootout. But I say that knowing that Jay Hill just locked down Kansas. So whatever it takes to win, you'll try and do that. But that said, what do you kind of see from ASU?
I see a very aggressive defense, very athletic, very good at what they do. And they're aggressive now. They get after it. They play really hard. A lot of pressure, a lot of man coverage, and good defense for sure.
A couple of personnel notes for you. We talked about the offensive line situation. At that right guard spot, did Sonny Maccasini go most of the way on Saturday? He, Leusa, what was the situation?
Leusa, yeah. I think he played the whole game. I'm pretty sure. I'm not.
Okay, so Leusa at right guard, but Sonny's available. Sonny's Bruce Mitchell's available.
Sonny's available, and there's almost no drop-off with Sonny's in there, so we feel great about him.
Did I see Cody Epps get in for a snap or two maybe on Saturday?
Yeah, he played a few plays.
So he's back.
He's back, I would say close to 100%. Back enough that Fest put him in for a few plays, and hopefully we can just keep bringing him along and getting him back to 100%.
All right, well, it's a huge week, but they all are this time of the year when you're 9-1 and ranked where you are. So best of luck in the prep. We'll see you down in Tempe. Good luck against Arizona State.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Greg.
All right, that is Coach Aaron Roderick, and that'll do it for Week 11 of the Coordinator's Corner. For Coaches Hill and Roderick and our entire crew, reminding you that next week it is our season finale, all three coordinators on the show. Till next week, I'm Greg Wrubell. Go Cougs.